What kinds of criticisms are out there in terms of using the Oncotype DX assay right now, and how do you respond to them?
I think there clearly has been asked, and currently our collaborators are working very hard on this, for publication of these additional studies, which I've referred to in this, that have been presented at major meetings, but are not yet in the peer-reviewed literature. And I think having that data available will be very useful for those people who want to read, again, in a peer-reviewed publication, the results of the B20 study. The other issue that's frequently discussed is the issue of patient selection. Is this right for everyone? Who should I use the test in? And on that one, I really enjoy engaging in those discussions because that's the discussion I think that we really want to get right for our patients. What do we know? What don't we know? And for whom is this test appropriate? And clearly, that's why, for example, in the NSABP B14 study, Dr. Paik and colleagues in the New England Journal publication presented so much subgroup analysis. Because people want to know, what about small tumors? What about large tumors? What about tumors of different grade? What about patients who are younger or patients that are older? And for all of those, I would say, please go look at those published studies, review that literature, and use those results to inform you about the appropriateness or not of the test.
What's it been like the last couple of years for you, you know, to see this thing unroll?
This has been exciting, the opportunity to work with such great groups, the opportunity to bring together great people who care first and foremost about improving patient care and bringing real important advances to cancer care. It's just been fantastic to be associated with this effort.
Yeah, I mean, being oncologists, we don't really like chemotherapy, and the idea of so many women potentially being able to avoid it, to me, is really exciting, as well as people of being able to avoid relapse.
Well, it all gets personal, doesn't it? Really, personalized medicine or individualized medicine is what happens when you get sick. And we never, never should forget that that's what every one of our patients is going through, an incredibly personal and individual experience. And the idea now that we can better treat cancer by understanding those individual differences that are going to be critical to making the best decisions is clearly the direction that we all want to head in. And one way to really look at it would be to think about where we are in oncology care today. Where we are in oncology care today is where our endocrinology colleagues were when they first were able to measure hormone levels in the blood. Where we are in oncology today is where our cardiology colleagues were when they were first able to do cardiac caths and echoes and actually more precisely diagnose cardiovascular disease. Where we are today is where our colleagues in infectious disease were when they first were able to measure the HIV virus in the blood, which clearly transformed the treatment of AIDS. And so although sometimes it feels we're impatient, and clearly from our patient's perspective, these advances are never going and they're never occurring fast enough, we shouldn't forget that we are in the midst of that kind of transforming event, that cancer is the prototypic acquired DNA disease. And it shouldn't be surprising that a revolution in care is dependent on being able to see those tumors better and being able to diagnose them based on the DNA and RNA that distinguishes one tumor from another.